Acts chapter 2, we want to begin reading that verse 36. And the Bible says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. I want to preach tonight for just a little while, if God be my help, on the word Peter preached. On the word that Peter preached. As I was looking at this, I began to see here in Acts chapter 2, and as we come out through Pentecost, and preacher Peter begins to preach the message there after Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost begins to move upon him, and it begins to move in him. I got to thinking on that over there in the study the other day, and I was going back and looking in the book of Mark, and the Bible says that Peter stood there around the fire, and he denied Jesus three times. And here we see in just a little amount of time, theologians say that it was probably just a matter of about 8 weeks. Peter went from denying the Lord Jesus Christ to preaching the gospel, to telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, to telling them about how good he was. And we see him, Mark denying him, but we see in John chapter 21, Jesus restoring him. Amen, Jesus. He said he come to him after he'd done denied him three times, just like he said he would. And he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, oh, Lord, you know I love you. He said, well, feed my sheep. Praise be to God. He recommissioned him, praise God, for the glory of God. I believe tonight it'd be time that we got recommissioned. Amen. I believe it's time that we got back in the fight. I believe it's about time that we just got rid of the mess of this world, put it behind us, praise God, and went on for the glory of God. Amen. We're living in a time of deceit. We're living in a time of hardship. We're living in a time that this world ain't never seen. But praise be to God, I want to tell you, there's a God of glory tonight that knows exactly where we're at. Amen. He's not wringing his hands. He's not confused about the events that's taking place. But praise be to God, he's on the throne just like he's always been. Praise God, he's got our best interests at heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Peter's preaching this message here, and he gets over towards the end of his message, and he begins to preach that resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe tonight, after Jesus put him back to work, I believe with all my heart that Peter preached that first complete gospel message. Amen. He preached the death. He preached the burial. He preached the resurrection. And he preached the ascension of the God of glory. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ ascending back to his rightful spot at the right hand of God on high to be restored to his glory. Amen. Forever and forever and forever. Amen. Praise God. What a message he had to preach. Amen. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. He said in the house of Israel, he said, hey, listen. He said, there's something you need to know with assurity. I want to say, church tonight, there's something that we need to know with assurity. Amen. There's some things that we need to know with assurity. There's a lot of things we may doubt and a lot of things we may wonder about. But I want to say, when it comes to Jesus and the death, burial, and his resurrection, and he's ascended up on high, praise God, we don't need to worry, wonder about that. Amen. We've got it with the surety of the Word of God, praise God, that he did. Amen. If we didn't believe that, praise God, history itself says it did. He's never been a person or a group of people that come up and deny, praise God, the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. That he did walk on the faith. He did rise from dead. He did walk on the earth, praise God, after his resurrection. He was seen by multitudes. And then they saw him ascend back into heaven. Have you ever thought about what it'd be like to be over there on Mount Olives, praise God, and all of a sudden the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives them the last few words of encouragement. He said, you just say, hang out, praise God, till you're endued with the Holy Ghost, with power from on high. He said, then you'll be witnesses unto me, praise God. And he let the glory to God, he let loose a gravity. Amen. He began to float up out of their sight, and God received him up, praise God. Hey, in the glory, in the clouds. What a blessed hope I'll give them folks. He said, hey, just like he came, praise God, he's gone. But hey, going back, praise God, shouting the praises. Say, he's coming again. Amen. You say, preacher, how you know that? Because he's coming for me and you. Amen. I don't think it's going to be too many days hence. He's coming and we're going. Amen. One of these days, I believe we're going to lose gravity just like he did.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Going to be cut off. They're talking about now about this sun and all the things that's going on and how the solar flares, it's not taking place. It should be taking place and how it can make a... Now this, poor Al Gore, you don't hear nothing from him more because now they're saying that we may be going through a cooling cycle. Imagine that. Amen? And that's saying if the flares keep going like they should, within a few years that we could even go through a little mini ice age. Amen. Imagine that. The cycle of the world. Been doing it since, praise God, before man. Amen. Since God created this thing over 6,000 years ago, praise God, and it's still right on track.
Amen.
Ain't ever missed a beat, and ain't ever going to. In order for it to fail, God would have to fail. And my God don't fail. Amen. You may have some little old G God that fails, but praise God, my God is a great big G God. He don't fail, praise God. He's always right on time, and He's a perfect God.
Amen.
But He told him, He said, hey, listen, you need to know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus. Not a different one. Not some other one. That same Jesus, both Lord and Christ. Now, He said, you know that He's that anointed one that was promised. That sent one, praise God, that come from God. But not only is the Christ, but He said, hey, He's both Lord and Christ. He said, He's the authority. He's that sovereign power, praise God, that God sent to me and you.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, you think, I like what Brother Robert said. I'm glad God's got us in His hands. I'm glad I'm counting on Him to take care of me and not me, praise God, to take care of me. Because I would let me down. I know I've done it many times. But praise be to God. Hey, listen, I may not be exactly what I need to be or what I'd like to be, but praise God, my God's never failed. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. He changeth not. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad for that? But He said He's that anointed one. He's that one. That was sin. Amen. And the Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Now listen to what He said. When they heard this, what was they hearing? They was hearing the gospel. Amen. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said they were pierced in their heart. Amen. But the Word of God, praise God, it pierced into their soul. Amen. It's Jesus the Lord. So Peter's here telling us that the Word is centered around Jesus. And the Word cuts to the heart. Amen. Right to where we live. The Bible said it's a two-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4, it cuts, I pray, coming and going. Amen. See, a lot of times you go out of here and you feel like you've been butchered. Amen. You say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? You saying you mean to us? No, I know how I feel. Amen. I know how I feel when the Word gets a... Hey, listen, I used to get it several times before I ever give it to you. Amen. Amen. He takes me out behind the woodshed, praise God, before I ever make it into here. And He cut. Hey, and He cuts and He... Hey, praise God. If He cuts you, praise the Lord, with the precious Word of God, He's got that bomb of Gilead, praise God. He'll apply to it and make you better than you ever was.
Amen.
Amen. He is the great physician, praise God. He knows what we need, amen. If we just trust Him, if like He's a little young and say, just trust the Lord. Amen. Trust Him. Praise God. He knows what we need. So He says about that they pierce it, they stab it in this sin. See, that's what that pricking is in you, praise God. It makes you uncomfortable when you get under the gospel preaching.
Amen.
Amen. When you get under the Word of God, it's that pricking, it's that stabbing of sin, praise God, at the Word of God. That the Word of God does in you. Amen. He's getting down to where you live. Hey, it's okay to preach hard. Say, preach, give it to them, preachers, when you're shoveling over your shoulder. Ain't that right, Brother Bill?
Amen.
Say amen, brother. But praise God, when it finds home in your heart,
yeah,
and that old gospel plow begins to plow in your row, praise God.
Amen.
And you say, hey, you know what you ought to do? You ought to just say, preach on, preacher, praise the Lord.
Preach
amen.
On.
Glory to God. Help me to just be what God wants me. Cleanse me. Hey! Cleanse me and make me whole, praise God.
Amen.
Come down to where I live, God. Show me my need. Fix me, God, according to your will. Well, glory, thank God. I like him when he shows up down the depths of my soul, and he carves out a piece of my old rotten heart. Praise God. And he makes her new.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. That's getting right then. Praise the Lord. Get where you can get some hair. Now they come in here and it says they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now they were pricked in heart. They were sorry that they had crucified Jesus. I believe today there's a lot of people that's sorry that they do things. Amen? I believe there's a lot of people today that's sorry, really, sincerely sorry, because they've done things they shouldn't do. Amen? But I will say sorry, being sorry is not enough. Amen? Being sorry, praise God, because we sin is not enough. Amen. Being sorry because we do things we don't do is not enough. Amen. Being sorry is not enough. Hey, it takes a little more than that. It takes that unction of God. It takes a godly sorrow. It takes that realizing, praise God, that we broke the heart of God.
Amen.
That we've hurt the one that loves us more than anybody loves us.
Amen.
Amen. And desiring in our heart not to hurt him no more. Amen. Hey, listen, you can be hard, you can be pierced, you can be sorry. But praise God, without a godly sorrow. You need a godly sorrow. See, they said, well, you know, I can hear them now. They like most of us Baptists, a fundamental independent Bible believing Baptist. They said, well, preacher, I didn't drive them nails in Jesus' hand. Huh? I didn't hold the nail. I didn't pick up a hammer. But praise God, and they were sorry that it happened. Amen? They were sorry that it happened. And they said, well, but we didn't do it. But the Holy Ghost of God didn't stop her. Amen? Holy Ghost of God kept reaching down and piercing that heart, stabbing at that old sinful self. And they said, you know what? We may not have done it with our own hand, but praise God, we done it in our heart. And we didn't try to do anything about it. Praise God, we're just as sinful as the Roman that drove the nails.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Just as guilty as that old Roman soldier. Every one of us is just as guilty as that old Roman soldier. We didn't approve of it. Yeah, you did. And they said, well, what shall we do? Amen. They said, men, I like this. They said, men and brethren. I believe they come to a place in their life when the piercing of the Holy Ghost of God had done pierced their heart. And they said, you know what? Brethren.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, you know, in other words, we just like you are, praise God. We need help. Amen. Boy, we could just realize, praise God, we just old sinners and needing of help. Amen. What would you say, what God do for you? He'd help you. Amen. But here they are. They're gathered there, and old Peter's a preaching. I mean, I just see preaching with the power of God all over him. Holy Ghost unction, praise God, from the throne of grace. Amen. The Lord just opened her up, praise God. Just poured it out on purpose. Glory be to God. Them old brothers are preaching, amen, in tongues they never spoke. It wasn't a miracle. Hey, the miracle wasn't in the hearing. It was in the hearing, praise God. It wasn't in the speaking. Amen. Yeah. It was through the hearing. That was the miracle. They were 16 nations representing. There are 16 different languages. Amen. It wasn't a bunch of mumbo jumbo.
No,
they were speaking in a language, praise God. Hey, what they were saying, they was receiving their ear. Praise God, is the oracles of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God, the Holy Ghost is a speaking to them, praise God, through these old unlearned Galilean fishermen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Sometimes we get in the mully grubs, we say, well, preacher, God couldn't ever use me. That's a stinking lie of the devil.
Yeah.
Amen. He can use you. I don't care how little you are, how big you are, how young or how old. God can use you.
Amen.
Just make yourself available. But I can see these folks here, as they got into a quandary, they begin to realize, you know what? There ain't no hope. There ain't no hope here. What are we going to do now? Sin is that sin. It brings alienation from God. We've done alienated ourselves from God. What are we going to do now? So here they are, and they're isolated. Amen. No hope and nowhere to go. And they said, men and brethren, what can we do? How can we get hope? How can we get back in the good graces of God? See, they were out there. It's kind of like being out on Alcatraz. You ever heard of Alcatraz? They call it the rock. It's out there off the coast of San Francisco, I believe it is. And it's out there, I believe it's just a little over a mile from the shoreline out there to the rock. And it's just basically that. It's a rock sticking up out of the water, and they build a penitentiary on it. Amen? And they take some of the most hardened criminals, those that like to brag on themselves for getting out of tight spots. And they take them and they load them on a boat and they haul them out there to the rock. Amen? And that's what kind of like these folks are here. They're kind of out there on the rock. And they can look around and they can see over a mile back. They can see the shore. They can see the beautiful lands. They can see the sky and they can see the ocean. They can see everything around. And all everything looks so magnificent. Amen? But when they think about getting to any of those things, they got to look and think about that 50-degree water they'd have to swim for over a mile to get back. Amen? So they're out there with all these visuals all around them that they can see, but there's no way to attain to them. That's the way the people were. And they was telling the prophet, said, what do we do? How can we get back, praise God, on the shoreline of the good graces of God?
Yeah.
Amen. How do we get back? See, I believe we need to ask ourselves in our old-fashioned fundamental churches, how do we get back? Amen. I believe there's a lot of them we fell by the wayside, praise God, and we say, well, you know, we're just going to kind of just go with the flow. I tell you, the flow will mess you up. Amen. I tell you what, we ain't going back. As long as I'm pastor here, and I may not be tomorrow, you may run me off. But as long as I'm pastor here, we're not going to go with the flow. Amen. We're going to try to stay with the Word of God. Amen. We're going to try to stay in the presence of God. We're going to have when they ask us what we got for the children, we're going to tell them we got preaching and praising and praying the Lord, praise God, down on our meetings so we can see God one more time before the Lord comes and gets us, before He takes us older ones out of here so we don't be left behind with no hope.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you. When I was growing up, we didn't have no games and gimmicks. Amen. In the church house. But I can remember my little old granny and them, some of them other older ladies over here at Old Oak Grove Church. The Holy Ghost of God get to move and praise God, and they'd wave them little old hankies and they'd wave them to glory. Amen. They couldn't say a word, couldn't have hollered so if the hogs was eating them. But praise be to God, they was in glory world and they wasn't afraid or ashamed to let everybody know.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Wasn't no games and gimmicks in that. Amen. Just the Holy Ghost of God moved on the scene. He said, hey, you know what? Because I love you, I'm just going to bless you on purpose. Amen. And it made a difference. And we got away from that. Amen. What's our excuses? Well, we praise the Lord. He's worthy. You say, well, preacher, boy, I really like it when old Rex gets happy. You ever think about getting happy with him? Amen. Huh? Amen. I get happy for him. Praise the Lord. Huh? Because it's good. Amen. But they're out there in the aisle of no hope. And they say, hey, men, brother, what can we do? Then Peter, he said unto them, repent. that's a new category in the churches today. Amen. That's something that's unheard of. You mean you preach on repentance? Yeah, I preach on repentance. You can believe I preach. Hey, without repentance, praise God. Amen. We'll never get where we need to be with God. We'll never get that junk out of our life, praise God, that's a hindrance in our walk. We'll never get rid of that stuff that so easily besets us if we don't repent and seek God's face. Amen. Amen. Fellow said one time, "Why don't I?" Said, "I don't repent no more." Told me I was setting up a little old church. I was getting ready to preach way down Sodom Laurel. Amen. It's different down there. Man, after Sunday school, they had to take a break. They had to take a snuff break. Amen. I didn't agree with it, but that's the way they'd always done it. Went down there for 9 months and preached Sunday morning. Little old boy come in, he said, "Preacher, I've come to conclusion, I don't have to repent no more." I sat there a minute and thought on that, whirled it around, kind of like them old folks doing their snuff. And I looked at him between Big Bill. I said, "You know what? I said, I don't have to repent no more either. But I ain't going to repent no less. Amen. When I break the heart of my God and He brings it to my heart, I'm going to say, Lord God Almighty, I'm sorry." Amen. Amen. I'm going to get it right while it's today, praise God, so it don't follow me till tomorrow. Amen. Lord to God, if we'd learned to repent. Hey, listen. What does it mean to repent? Repent needs to mean to have a change of mind with a direct effect on a change of life. Hello? A man that say, "Well, I don't believe in repenting," means you never change your mind. If your mind stays lost and undone without God, you're lost and undone without God. Amen. And there's no change. Hello. Amen. That's right. Amen. Hey, if you repent, praise God, you have a change of mind, which has caused you to have a change of heart, a change of life. I'm not that old man I used to be. How about you? I don't go to places I used to go. I don't do the things I used to do. I don't say the things I used to say. Why? Because I repented of it. Amen. I got rid of that. I put that behind me. Praise the Lord. But old Peter, he said, "Hey, listen," said, "you got to repent." Amen. He said, in other words, he said, you can't be denying your sinfulness no more. He said, "You can't be excusing your sinful." You know, that's what we do. If we don't repent, we're just denying, we're excusing, and we're justifying our old sinfulness. Amen. Amen. Yes, amen. Amen. Hey, if you're a member of this church, you love the Lord, praise God, it don't bother you to repent. No, amen. Hey, I like it sometimes, praise God. Some brothers and sisters fall on their face in an old-fashioned altar, praise God, and say, "Lord, I'm sorry." Amen. Amen. I like it sometimes, praise God, when we go up to one another and fall on their neck and say, "I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me?" Amen. God fixes it. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Why'd one man step away from that? God help. Live in a wicked world. You know who's who gives out that doctrine? The devil. And the devil's crowd. They said, "Well, preacher, you don't have to repent." Amen. No, yeah, I do, because I ain't going to stay in my sin. Amen. I'm going to get a house clean and praise God for the glory of God, and I'm going to go on for His glory. Amen. So He said, "You got to repent." Peter said unto them, "Repent." And then he goes on. That means to turn from something to something else, by the way. Amen. Something better. And then he goes on and he says, "And be baptized." Repent and be baptized. What does that mean? Let me give you a good definition of it. You know where the best place to find a definition? It ain't Wardell's Webster's Dictionary, even his old one, the good one. But it's the Word of God. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. It's talking about baptism. And it says, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Buried with Him in..." He's talking about Jesus, by the way. If you don't know who Him is, it's Jesus. Amen. It says, "Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the..." Now listen to this. "Of the operation of God." You mean I don't save myself? No. Amen. You go down a low sinner, praise God, when you bow in repentance, and you come up a saved sinner. Praise God. Because what God does. "Faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you..." And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. All of you. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh That means out of the covenant of God. Amen. We're in sinfulness, out of the covenant, dead in sins and out of the covenant with God. The covenant He wants to make with us. He said, hath He quickened together with Him. That means to make alive. Praise God. He said, you're no longer dead and out of the covenant of God. He said, you've been made alive and put back in the family, having forgiven you all trespasses. Amen. He said, God said, hey, listen, what I'm going to do, He said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailed it to His cross. Amen. He said, praise God, I've saved you, praise, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the blood, praise God. Now we got a new generation coming along and say, well, preacher, it's not really nothing about the blood. Amen. Really? Okay, you keep on believing that and you'll end up in hell lost without God. Because without the blood, the Bible said there is no remission. Amen. Without the blood, there's no getting rid of all that sin and guilt that you said, that they said that we was all in, that you were dead in. Amen. And then he goes on. In other words, what he's saying here in baptism, he says, you're dying out to self. And we're dying out to sin. Raised in newness of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got a new life, listen to me, and a new opportunity for God. Starting out, hey, when you got saved, God gave you a fresh, clean slate. But now if you don't repent, how are you going to keep that clean? You're going to stand before God and give an answer for everything you've done since you're saved. Amen. It's not, you're not going to stand in the judgment seat of Christ and give an answer for whether or not you're saved. If you're standing in judgment seat of Christ, you're going to give an answer for what you did after you were saved. Amen? Nod your head. Amen? We're going to give an answer for what we did after we were saved. And if we don't repent of our sinfulness, because we're all sinned to come short of glory of God, we do it. Amen? We're sinners. We're sinful men. Sinful women. Sinful boys and girls. We mess up. But if we repent of those sins, amen, put them under the blood. Plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to stand and give account for all that stuff. Amen. He's going to look at us. He say, hey, listen. The devil's going to say, what about this and this and this? And God the Father is going to tell the Son. He said, Son says, hey, listen. What do you think, Father? And he said, hey, I don't see nothing but the blood. Yeah, amen. Praise God. Cleansed and made whole, praise God, in the blood of the Lamb. But he says, every one of you in the name of, and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Now, you know what that word remission means? It means to send off, send away. Amen? That's what he's talking about. He said, get rid of those sins. Put them away, praise God. Get them out of sight. Go do away with them. Amen. For the glory of God. To send off, to send away out of sight. Having your sins forgiven. Amen? That's what he says, to have your sins forgiven. How are we going to do that if we don't ask God to forgive us? If we don't ask Him, how's He going to forgive us? You say, well, preacher, He's just good God. He'll just forgive us because, you know, we're trying to do right. Really? Amen? Hey, the Bible says there's a lot of things we have not because we ask amiss. Amen? Amen. If we think we can just be bopper wrong, he said one day, there was a time when God would wink at this ignorance in Acts chapter 17, but he said that time's gone. Man, he said you've been enlightened to the Word of God and the truth, and he said, hey, you may try to worship all these little G gods of this world, but praise God, there's a living God that you're going to have to give an account to, the great God of glory. But he said that for the remission of sins. He said, for the remission of sins, and said, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So he tells us here that we can get rid of our sins. Amen. And we do it because the Holy Ghost, God gives that gift. That Holy Ghost comes along and he gives us a gift of life from the dead. Amen. When the Holy Ghost moves upon you and shows you and helps you realize that you're just an old sinner in need of a Savior. Man, realize that you're in this world with no hope. And no help. You a preacher, you don't realize the people I got around. I got people. Yeah. Obama's got people too. And he gets more and more every day. But praise God, he's lost as a goose. As Cousin Rufus say, he's lost as a ball in high weeds. Amen. He needs the Lord. It don't matter how many people you got around you, praise God. The one that you got to have is the Holy Ghost of God to finger around your heart and show you that you're lost. Amen. And when the Word of God begins to finger around your heart, when it begins to show you See, God's Word offers forgiveness, amen, through the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost of God moves in, praise God. He offers us, you know, God wouldn't, hey, He won't leave us in our sinfulness. He offers us the Holy Ghost who brings us out of our sinfulness, amen, and delivers us from our sin, amen. He helps us to overcome. He empowers us to overcome our sin day by day. So not only does He save us from our dying state, our dead state, but He transforms us into a people that's alive, amen, enlightened, praise God, in the Word of God, been made quickened, amen, been made alive, and He moves us on from there to being to where we have the ability to be, He empowers us to get away from, stay away from sin. So sin doesn't become a part of our lives. Amen. No longer who we are. It's just a byproduct of the flesh. See, that's the way I look at it. This old sinful man I am, it's just a byproduct of the flesh. But this man ain't finished yet. Amen. Praise the Lord. When the devil says, ha ha, you messed up again. Just look at him and say, ha ha, devil, I ain't finished yet. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's still working on me. As long as we got breath in our body, praise God. He's a God of glory up there who's still working on us every day of our life, praise God, for our betterment, to get us ready so one day He can present us without spot or blemish or any such thing.
Amen.
Man. Stand before the Lord one day. Amen. The Word centered around Jesus. Word cuts the heart and the Word offers forgiveness. Not only that, but the Word also urges us to resist evil. Amen. He says, for the promise is unto you and that your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Who's it available to? Whosoever will. Amen. Because He's a whosoever God. Amen. And He goes in verse 14. He says, and with many other words did He testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Now He's talking about here. He's talking because He said, you've got the Word of God. He said, you know what God says. The Holy Ghost of God's moved into your life. If you're saved, if you're a born again child of God, Holy Ghost, God's living in you. And He's empowering you, amen, with life from above. So you don't have to live that old life that's beneath. Amen. Glory to God. Get you on a new plane. Amen. Step up, hey, step up on a shelf of life, praise God. Get out of that bottomless pit, praise God, you've been living in. Step up on a new plane and say, you know what? God has empowered me to be different.
Amen.
Amen. For His glory. He said, save yourselves from this untoward. You know what he said, you know what? We've got a part that we've got to do. We have to apply a little bit of effort. He said if we had just seek the Lord, And just have a fellowship with Him, desire the things of God, submit ourselves to Him, and put up a resistance. James said, the devil will flee. Amen? But we have to put up a resistance. See, we give in too easy. You know, somebody will come on, they'll say something or another, and boy, we just jump right back. And then James talked about that too. He said, we got two ears and one mouth. So we need to listen twice and speak once. Amen. So before we start to say something, then say, so no jumping on the bandwagon. We ought to stop and listen. Then we start and listen again. Maybe rewind and repeat it to ourselves before we say anything. You know, it'd keep a lot of us, keep our tails out of sling if we'd do that more. Amen. It'd keep us from having to go back and apologize a whole lot. Amen. If we just realize we've been empowered from on high, we've got the Holy Ghost of God, amen, He'll dictate to us and help us if we'll just take time to listen. See, a lot of times the Holy Ghost, God's speaking to us, somebody else is speaking to us, and they're telling us some, you know, a bunch of negative things, and we're taking those in, and the Holy Ghost of God's on the other side, kind of like that little old thing they used to show, you know, the angels over here and the devils over here, and the one saying, well, just you shouldn't do that. And the other said, yeah, go ahead and do that. But we're not even that good, because we got the devil over here. He's telling, they're telling you something, amen, some ungodliness about some person or something, and man, you're taking it in, and you're already thinking, you know that sorry rascal. Amen. And the Holy Ghost, God's over here speaking to you. And if we'd take time to listen to Him too. Amen. If we'd take time to we hear this, if we would listen to this, praise God, He'd say, you know what? That's a brother or sister in Christ. Amen. Praise God. If they're struggling, and we need to pray. So when they finish, they're squawking. Amen. And idle gossip, praise God. When they finally shut their mouth, or you get them to shut up, say, just listen a minute. We need to pray. I wonder what happened if they got to doing that, and all of a sudden you just fell down with the praying. Huh? I mean, just hit your knees, went to pray, and oh, praise Lord. Touch old brother, son, touch old sister so-and-so. God save them, help them, fix this situation they're in. You know what that person do? It's going to look like you, you've lost your mind. Amen? But I bet you they wouldn't unload on you no more on brother so-and-so. Amen? They'd say, you know what? I need to watch what I say around them. They pray on me. Amen? Praise the Lord. But God's empowered us, praise God, to keep us from evil. Amen? This untoward world that He's talking about, untoward generation. See, it hadn't just started today. Newsflash, it didn't start last week. We had this untoward generation. Now, that word untoward, it means perverse and rebellious. That's what that untoward means. He said it was just an untoward generation. So it was a perverse, rebellious generation. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 5, I believe it is, that Moses was talking to children of Israel. They were getting ready to go into the promised land. He was preparing them. He's fixing them up, praise God, giving them all they need, praise God, because he knew he wasn't going into the promised land. He was trying to fix them up so they'd be ready when they got there. But he said, hey, listen, you've been having struggles because you've been perverse. And said, you've been crooked. Amen. He said, you've been untoward generation. He said, you've been perverse and crooked. He said, you've been perverted in your thinking because of everything around you. You ain't thinking straight. Hello? That's what America is today, by the way. We ain't thinking straight. When we've allowed sodomites and everything else to be okay, that's perversion at its highest peak. Amen. And I told you, I don't hate them people. I love them, but praise God, that wicked sin they're living in. It's just like alcoholism or drug addiction. Amen. It's practiced sin, and I hate that sin. Amen. It's wickedness in the eyes of God. He ain't changed His mind. He said they was a perverse generation then, and we're a perverse generation now. But He said they was a crooked generation. He said... And I got thinking on that. You know what? He said, yeah, because He said, you know what? God had made us a straight path into Canaan. He even parted the sea, praise God, so He could walk across on dry land. Didn't even have to go around. Amen. But He said, instead of going straight through like God made a path for you, He said, you decided to go a crooked way. Took them 40 years of wandering a crooked path to get to a place they could have been in what, 21 days, I think somebody said. Huh? They just took that straight path. I wonder how much better we'd do if we just take a straight path. But He said they're a perverse and a rebellious generation. So they're taking the crooked path. And the straight path would be better if we'd just take it. So one of these days we want to end up in the presence of the Lord. James chapter 1 verse 27, He said unspotted. He said we need to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Amen. That means you don't participate in the ungodliness of the world. You separate it from it. Paul even goes as far in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He gives a whole list of sinful things that we're supposed to do. And he even goes as far in chapter 5. He said, now, you know what? If he's got a brother and sister in Christ and you try to tell them what's right and they choose to live wrong, he said, don't even eat with them. Amen? He said, don't have fellowship with them. They don't condone what they're doing in the way that they're living. You say, well, preacher, that's alienating yourself from the brethren. No, that's alienating yourself from the sin of the brethren. Amen. If they're living in sinfulness, you can't partake with them because you're saying, well, you know what you're doing is okay in my eyes. Hello? That's just a little tidbit. I didn't mean to say that. Well, I guess I did. The Lord gave it to me. Amen. I'm not going to apologize, but praise God. Hey, listen, He said, we got to take responsibility for ourselves because there's a lot of folks that's watching us. Amen. So He urges us to resist evil. Praise the Lord. And then He goes on, the Word produces a church. When all these things are done, the Word of God, it produces a church. Verse 41, He said, then they that gladly received His Word were baptized. Now notice what had faith. They gladly received the Word. How do you become a child of God? By hearing of the Word. He said, the Bible says we're begotten by the Word. That's what gets us. That's what keeps us. That's what holds us. He said, we're begotten by the Word. He said, and received His Word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now I want you to notice what took place. It was some decisions that was made that changed their lives. They changed their lives then, and they changed their lives in their eternity by the decision they made for Christ that day. I'm talking about the birth of the church. And said they continued. Now wait a minute. You mean preacher? You mean you get saved and born again and you become part of church? That you supposed to stay part of the church? Yeah. Amen. And said they continued. That means they're not in and out. They're not up and down. Amen. They continued in the church. They continued going the way that God wanted them to go. Amen. That's what we have to do. We can't get away from the way God wants us to go. But say they continued every now and then. No, he said they continued steadfastly. Amen. In other words, they said they began to do new things as God had ordered it. See, they began to realize that that old life that they were living, it wasn't a life that's pleasing to God. And they began to do. Steadfastness means that you change from one thing to another. They begin to do something different. I wonder how many of us, since they've got saved, really actually live a different life. You live a different life now. You're not that person you used to be. Day by day, you try and do a little better. Amen. That's what steadfastness is. That's that continuing steadfastly. That's continuing to seeking to go and to try to be a little better. Day by day. And they said they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread. And in prayers. So did you see today the way that their life had changed? They began to, as part of the church, they began to participate in the church. They began to participate in the things that, sounds to me like relationship was taking place. Amen. Remember what we preached Sunday morning? They had a relationship. They liked being around one another. They liked the fellowship. They liked the doctrine. They liked the preaching of the Word. They liked the fellowship with the brother. They liked, amen, praise God, they liked the breaking of bread. Amen. Amen. Remember I told you Baptists that we're 20% heavier than the rest of them? Especially independent Baptists because we like to eat when we fellowship. Amen. But they liked to break bread together and they liked to pray. They liked to pray together. They liked to bring their supplications before the brethren. And say, hey, look, you need to pray. Need to get a hold. Need to shake the throne room of God. Praise God. Something began to take place. Why? Because of the word Peter preached. What did he preach? He preached Jesus, His death, burial, and His resurrection. You say, preacher, all you've preached tonight, everything that took place, the word brought it to pass. The word that Peter preached brought it to pass. And I want to say tonight, praise God, listen, the word that Peter preached, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, let's believe and trust in Him, praise God, it'll bring our lives to pass too. It'll change us and make us into what God wants us to be, even right now, today. See, we've got this mindset in America that, you know, one of these days we're going to do a little better. One of these days, you know, in a couple years, why not now? Why don't we start now? Why don't you start now? Make yourself just a little bit better. You say, well, preacher, how do I do it? By trusting the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, by believing on Him who paid it all so that we could go free. See, He's already overcame everything in this world. He's already came to sin and the sinfulness, praise God, that so easily besets us. And all we have to do is put our faith in Him. Trust in the Holy Ghost God, listening twice, speaking once. You'd be surprised the difference it'll make in our lives. We'll begin to see God in a whole new life as He begins to move through us. Why? Because of the preaching of the Word. Because of the gospel message that's applied to our hearts. But we have to receive it unto ourselves so that we can have what God wants us to have for these last days. Amen.